The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Going to get to the Cam and Brady news with ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano in a few. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Lakers forward LeBron James rested, ready for the second half. He said it's go time. It's time to get prepared. Making that turnaround, that last tap going into the postseason. Not going to look ahead. Say, okay, let's take this off, take that off. Nah, it's go time for me, the 18-year veteran. Let me just, I'm in New York right now at Seaport. Raj is in L.A. And so we have Zoom set up. You know, there's like a show script we talk about before. And what Raj sometimes does, for some reason, as I'm reading the Zoom, is you make the screen blurry. I don't know how you do it, but it's blurry, like I'm taking an eye test.
Well,
how do you do that?
I was talking to Brendan about, it's when I change screens. And sometimes I forget I'm sharing it with everyone. And I was telling Brendan I'm going to a jacuzzi to get together later after dinner. We're going to be in a jacuzzi because it's kind of cold out here.
What do you say cold? What's cold? This is really obnoxious for people on the East Coast.
Oh, it's freezing.
What is it?
Are you kidding me? I wore a sweat jacket at the gym today. It was like 53 or something.
Yeah, that's what in New York right now. It's like 60. Wait, it's warmer in New York than L.A. right now?
Yes.
It's 60. It's 60 something in New York. Oh, look at that.
No, we'll hit the 70s next week. But for today, it was 53 degrees.
We ain't going to hit the 70s probably until like May. This is the problem with March. You know what? We need to take March out of the calendar. Because you psychologically think February is the end of winter. But on the East Coast, sometimes it starts to warm up. You think it's spring. People wear shorts. You know, too soon. Those people who wear the shorts like a little too soon before it's really time. You know, they're cold. And then all of a sudden, it snows again. You're like, oh, come on, man. It's enough. All right. Anyway, look.
Right.
LeBron says it's go time for him. He sat out LA's only game he missed this year is the last game before the break. Against Sacramento, lost 123-120 to the Kings. It was a second of back-to-back right before the All-Star break. And he was resting his left ankle. LeBron's averaging almost 26 points, 8 boards, and 8 assists. And he's obviously in the MVP conversation. I think he's going to win MVP. Because when you look at it, like, Michael Jordan should have won 10 MVPs. The fact that they gave any to Karl Malone or Charles Barkley over Jordan, that was, come on, no one took that seriously. But LeBron should have won a bunch, too. Jordan wound up with 5 official. LeBron's got 4, and this may be the last chance the voters have to give him another one. It may be the last chance. He's not getting younger. And the thing is, here come the Nets. Like, I'm just taking this last half of this season for LeBron's career. It's one of the most important halves. Like, think about it. He's going to be, like, every time LeBron takes the court, he's resetting the longevity record in basketball. We don't know how that's going to hold up. Meantime, hopefully AD's health holds up, but the Nets are putting together something special in Brooklyn, and that's without even KD playing right now. What's it going to be like next year for Brooklyn? Philly's on the rise. Utah's on the rise. The Lakers are facing an enormous luxury tax bill. The Buss family is not some multinational corporation that can just, you know, like on a vanity project, kind of like, here's $100 million in luxury tax money. This is how they make a living. This is a family's, you know, a legacy and business. What's going to happen? I mean, the Lakers, this second half of this season is huge for the Lakers. Huge. Meantime, Cam and Brady news broke today. Cam Newton re-signed with the Pats. By the way, re-signed is one of those things. It's spelled exactly like resigned. You ever read that? You hear someone re-sign? You're like, wait, they resigned or re-signed? What's going on? We've got to do something about that. But Brady, let's start with Cam. Cam Newton was given $1.75 million in salary last year, and he produced or helped lead the team to 7 wins, and that was in spite of the following. He was coming off a catastrophic injury. He had missed a year. He had left the only professional team he'd ever played for. He went to a new team whose previous quarterback was the opposite of him. He had no preseason because of COVID. He lost most of his best defensive players before the season ever started because they opted out because of COVID. The team had no offensive players to begin with. There's not a single player on the Patriots offense where you're like, hey, give that guy the ball. Not a single one. Like, if I found out the Giants got someone from the Patriots, I can't think of a single offensive player from the Patriots where if the Giants got him, I'd be like, ooh, good, we got that guy. Not a single one. It's not like the Giants have amazing offensive players outside of Saquon. So the offense is no good. It was so bad, Brady looked ordinary. Then Cam got COVID. He got COVID. The facilities were shut down. They couldn't practice. And in spite of all that, they won seven games. For one, and you know Belichick doesn't overpay quarterbacks. He don't overpay anybody. For $1.75 million, he got seven wins out of a quarterback. What do you think he's going to get for $14 million? Belichick thinks they're going to win double digits and go to the playoffs with Cam this year. He liked what he saw from Cam. He liked the leadership. He liked the competitiveness. And I'll bet you he thinks we can work with what we got with Cam. It'll be a team heavily slanted toward defense and the running game, and that includes Cam. And he believes that Cam will make enough big plays on third down that they'll be able to compete and win a lot of those games. They came two plays away from winning nine games last year, and they beat a ton of quality teams. They beat Arizona. They beat Baltimore. They beat Miami. They beat the Raiders. They beat a lot of good teams. They came a play away from beating Seattle. They came a play away from beating Buffalo. They weren't a good road team. And that's something Cam and Belichick are going to have to figure out. And by the way, Cam's contract means there's room to sign another quarterback and see who's actually going to start. But I think Belichick's confident that he can go to the playoffs with Cam this year. Let's keep in mind, too, the last time seen healthy on a field before he was with the Patriots, Cam Newton was having his best passing season under Norv Turner as his OC in Carolina. Then he got hurt. It was a shoulder injury, and he couldn't play. But when last seen, he was a better passer than he was when he won the MVP. And don't forget, once upon a time, he was MVP. Meantime, Tom Brady reaches an agreement with the Tampa Bay Bucks. By the way, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. A four-year contract extension that voids to a one-year extension, sources tell ESPN. And it just ties Brady and the Bucks together until next year, 2022. But what Brady has done his entire career is restructure his deal in order to give cap relief to his team. And you have to think that is one of the reasons he's the GOAT. Tom Brady's judgment is better than everyone else's in the NFL. That's how he's made a living. The speed at which he can arrive at better conclusions and the conclusions he actually arrives at. Reading the defense, processing the information quickly, getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And by the way, putting his team in a position with salary where they can afford to put a team around him. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I was disappointed in Patrick Ewing. Not saying that he was wrong in how he felt, but he's the coach at Georgetown. Your sole focus should be talking about the game, your players, the university, the great job the Garden did getting the pandemic, tournament going like this. He should have congratulated Villanova playing depletedly. He put the whole focus on himself and his anger, which is fine if he walked in as a paying customer or as a guest and he was treated that way.
Let me ask you something, Richard. Listen, as usual, you make an interesting point, and you're arguing it well, too. But let me ask you something. Who won the game?
Georgetown won.
Were they supposed to win the game?
Well, Villanova had two of their five starters. One played and the best player didn't play. The other player was playing at 25%.
Who's the top seeded team?
So it wasn't a surprise that they lost.
Who's the top seeded team?
Right now, the top seed is UConn.
Well, I'm saying Villanova.
Oh, it was Villanova, but
right,
Villanova
going
was
into
not
the game. And so Patrick Ewing, coach, just upset the top seeded team at Madison Square
Garden.
That's
right. The focus should have been on his team.
But
and
let's
the players.
Focus. But obviously, the team is responding to him. You see what I mean?
Like
when he's entitled to say, he's entitled to say what's going on at Madison Square Garden. This is not just any player. This is the signature Knicks player of the last 40 years. 40 years, the signature Knicks player since Clyde Frazier. You could even argue 50 years. Well, not 50 quite, but 40 years. The signature player getting hassled at Madison Square Garden. And it's not an isolated incident. Charles Oakley, Spike Lee, John Starks, better watch his back. This is the way these guys are getting treated. Aquaman's going to get kicked out of the ocean next. The Pope can't get into the Vatican. That's what it's like. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan.
Max.
Good to have you, as always.
I'm a Georgetown alum and a veteran of many Big East tournament games. I cannot believe the treatment that Patrick Ewing's getting at Madison Square Garden.
Right, so you're okay as a Georgetown alum, not focusing on the win, or at least the media cycle not focusing on the win, but rather on Patrick Ewing's shabby treatment at Madison Square Garden.
It's fine because, honestly, like, yesterday was Patrick Ewing's best day as Georgetown's coach. Like, it's been the whole tenure's been a complete mess. So, like, that was a big win. So it'd be nice to get some attention for it. But I think, you know, if they win today and tomorrow, then all of a sudden it becomes interesting. But I don't have high hopes after this.
It'd be like Don Mattingly getting, like, hassled at Yankee Stadium. Like, Mattingly, another guy who held it down during times where they weren't winning championships, but was such an exemplary player and gave New York such pride as Patrick Ewing did in the same time. That would never happen to Don Mattingly at Yankee Stadium. All right, anyway.
It would not.
Anyway. I mean, World Wide West and Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, everyone's doing a great job there, but it just shows you what they're up against. Dan, let's talk the deals first, and then I want to get into David Culley and Deshaun Watson. Cam Newton signs a $14 million deal. How much is guaranteed?
It looks like 3.5.
So that's twice what he was guaranteed last year. It seems to me
Belichick
does not overpay players. He got 7 wins out of Cam last year, coming off a catastrophic injury, a year off, a new system, no preseason, no practice, COVID, and no offense, and half the defense defecting before the year started because of COVID. And yet they came 2 plays away from winning 9 games. I think the fact that Belichick's given him a raise to keep him tells me he thinks he can win double digits with Cam.
Yeah, they liked it. Look, the experience, I think, other than the production on the field, obviously they're disappointed with that. But, you know, everybody you talk to in New England said it was great to have Cam around. He worked his tail off. He was in, you know, he was part of the program and all into it, and vice versa. He seemed to enjoy his time there. Again, apart from, you know, they would have liked to play better. But there's a couple things going on here. One, they know they're going to need options, right? And like they don't know who their quarterback's going to be, if they're going to be able to draft one, et cetera. So you bring in a guy that you know you like, that's an option for you. And two, free agency starts next week, right? So like if you're out there recruiting a free agent wide receiver, one of that guy's questions is who's going to be throwing me the ball? And as of this morning, they didn't have an answer, right? So now they do. Whether it's the final answer or not, they can say, well, we got Cam Newton back. And there are, you know, young players in this league certainly that are going to be excited by the prospect of potentially playing with Cam Newton. So that's part of it, too, in terms of the timing.
You know, I wonder if Belichick's not eyeing Odell Beckham Jr., who obviously can't coexist with Baker Mayfield. Baker's better off without him. He's better off without Baker. And you know, they really need a dynamic weapon in New England. I mean, Cam needs, like, they really don't have. I was thinking about it, Dan. I don't think there's a single player on the New England offense at skills positions, so-called skills positions, that I would take as a Giants fan. And the Giants aren't good. I don't think I'd take a single guy off their offense.
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, look, they're hopeful that, like, N'Keal Harry eventually gets it. And they saw some stuff from Jacoby Myers. But you're right. I mean, nobody would rush out to get. And I think they're going to be active. They have a lot of cap space. Not that teams with a lot of cap space always spend it all. But I think they'll be out there looking for solutions on the free agent market, whether it's a guy like a Kenny Galladay or a Juju Smith-Schuster or a Hunter Henry. You know, these are all guys that are going to be available. And in terms of Odell, I mean, everything I hear out of Cleveland is They expect him to be on the team. They think he's going to be great in their offense. They don't think they played better because he wasn't there. They think they played better because they played better. It was a new coaching staff, new offense. They were all learning it. So we'll see. Right now, they can't do anything with Beckham anyway because he's hurt. So it would be months before they could make a move. But everybody there seems to think they.
I don't think Odell wants to be there. I don't think they want him there, honestly.
Well,
but
remember, his best friend's there.
Not from so what I hear, anyway. Let me ask you about Tom Brady's deal. We're talking to Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, here on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Tom Brady has, I don't think it's coincidental, Dan, and look, he's had freakish longevity. This wouldn't work for everyone in terms of their career earnings. He has a very rich spouse. Maybe he can afford to do it. But I don't think it's coincidence that he is the GOAT and that he has consistently provided his team with cap room. What can you tell me about this deal?
Well, yeah, he's not going to make any less money this year than he was originally scheduled to make. I mean, he'll make $25 million, just like his contract said when he signed it. The only thing they're doing is they're converting almost all of it, all but the minimum salary, which is what you're allowed to do, to a signing bonus, and then adding a bunch of fake years on the end of the contract so they can spread out the signing bonus for cap purposes. So Brady will still get his money. In fact, he'll get it faster than he would have otherwise. But
that's a good point, Dan. That's a good point. Whatever your salary is, just imagine if someone gave it to you all at once, right?
Yeah,
like you think, well, a year's not that long to wait. But a bigger
give you the rest of your money for the year today.
Oh,
it helps us, but you don't have to worry about why.
I'll tell you what, like most people, this is capitalism. You need that capital. You can do more with a huge chunk of money up front. So, right, it's true. He gets the same $25 million. The difference is today, here's a check for $25 million. Dan.
Yeah, it's nice.
It must be. And by the way, the Bucks, if anything, should be better. It looks like they're going to keep everybody. I mean, O.J. Howard's coming back.
They're trying.
Right.
Yeah, Shaquille Barrett, that's the key one now, the pass rusher. They're trying to get that done.
Give him a deal.
Yeah.
They got the money to give him a deal now. They franchise tag Godwin because actually, though he's young and improving, he's not as good as Evans, not as good as AB if AB is healthy and playing. And they need a speed guy. That's Scotty Miller. Kind of Godwin's the odd man out there, and still he can wind up with a big deal after this year. Now they have the money for Shaq Barrett. Brady's helping them. Be great. Deshaun Watson. Okay, David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, is trotted out before the media. He's 65 years old. And because of all the bad publicity the Texans are got, this is my read, for passing up on GMs of color, shall we say, in their search. They hired a firm to find the best people. A couple of them came back, but they decided to hire somebody else. They overrode, Cal McNair overrode him. Easterby, who used to be the team chaplain, is now running the show because he's McNair's guy, overrode him. But I think the Culley hire, like when you hire a 65-year-old coach, that's not your long-term plans. It seems like a ploy to get the media off your back. And now Culley's up there at the podium talking about, yes, Deshaun is committed to the team. He must be talking about the contract because Deshaun's on the record saying he didn't want to be there. What is your read of what's going on with the Texans right now?
Well, if the Texans are at a point, or if they ultimately reach a point where they realize they have to trade him, it's to their benefit for everyone to think that they don't have to trade him, right?
Sure.
So the public message has to be, no, he's our guy. We believe in him. We think we can get it fixed. Because if everybody knows you have to trade the guy, what are you going to get? Like they'll take advantage of you in the trade. So they're fighting back against the public perception that they're going to be forced to trade him. What's going to be interesting is as we get closer to the draft, do they decide to pull the trigger then, or do they want to call his bluff and say, look, we're going to stretch this out. We're going to see if he's willing to sit out training camp and incur significant fines and sit out regular season games and give back salary. If he's willing to do that, then that's more money for us. Or are they going to trade him and get rid of the headache, which ultimately is the most likely way to go? But if they don't do it before the draft, then I think it drags out because at that point you can't get 2021 picks anymore. So there's no reason not to drag it out.
But yeah, Houston,
they're taking the public stance of We don't have to do this.
This is my analysis. Exactly. Yeah. You and I are on the exact same page. And the only thing helping the Texans in this case, because no one's going to believe this nonsense, it's transparent what they're doing, is what you point out, which is maybe they're stubborn and stupid enough to actually push this past the 11th hour and wind up in a destructive situation because the team has been self-destructive. That kind of craziness actually helps them here. The great Dan Graziano, yep. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, appreciate you joining me. They've been telling me for the last 2 minutes that I have to get out of this segment. Goodyear.
All right.
Thanks Dan. I appreciate it, man. Celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings, visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Is the Kardashian curse real? No doubts coming up. Here's good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now, and My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience, no problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. No doubt. Next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What show is this?
Hey, it's George Fogelty.
Fogelty? Who's Fogelty?
I don't know. That's who I thought did this song.
You mean John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival?
That's who did this song because, you know, Mason and Ireland are bringing back Fast Track, and this is the song they use. So I didn't know who sang it, and I guess it's
I don't know. Clear, by the way, we were just talking about this. Clearwater Revival? I heard Brendan say, God, Raj, it's Creedence. And I thought, wait a minute. Is that Creedence Clearwater Revival? Is that a group? I know I've heard that.
You did it.
Yeah, Brendan and I are going to have to compete. You're right, Raj. It's got to be me identifying rock stuff and him identifying hip-hop stuff.
Yeah, B, real quick, Brendan, who sings this song? We both got it wrong.
This is The Eagles.
What are you, some kind of rock and roll genius? You heard him, L.A. LeBron said it's go time. How far can they go without a healthy AD? We'll get John Ireland or Michael Thompson on next week. One of the Lakers radio guys. Talk. I have an answer for that. They ain't going to go very far without AD. They can make the playoffs, and maybe LeBron can even upset a team in the playoffs without AD because he's that great. But with AD, they're going to get out of the West. And it won't be easy. Without AD, oof. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
What do we have today, Raj?
All right, check this out, Max. You're a baseball purist. The MLB on Thursday outlined experimental rules it plans to implement at different minor league levels this season. So take a listen. Those rules include banning some forms of defensive shifts. You know that against the lefties, ain't that? More games governed by an electronic strike zone are out. A 15-second pitch clock, limiting pick-off moves at end larger bases. So Max wants to see these changes at the major league level.
No doubt. I have to admit something.
No doubt.
Ooh.
I'm the reason that baseball's no good anymore. I was as loud as anyone about sabermetrics and analytics for decades, and here's the problem. The most efficient form of doing something is not always the most enjoyable, the most pleasing, the most market-friendly. You know, MMA, for example. Actually, the highest level of fighting is little tiny maneuvers in grappling positions that are hard to see. So after the UFC saw enough of these half-hour grappling matches, they said, all right, wait a minute, no, we're not going to do that. Stand up. You got to stand up. Got to give the people what they want. The most efficient form of basketball, apparently just 3-3-3-3. They're going to have to do something. And the most efficient form of baseball with the shifts and everything and pitchers throwing 5 innings and stuff, it's just not that good. They're going to have to make rules changes because as people figure out the most efficient way to play, you frequently don't get a better consumer product. You get a worse one. Go ahead, Roger.
Good point. Good point. Hey, Tristan Thompson plays for the Celtics now. He turns 30 this weekend. Happy birthday, Tristan. Get a rebound. Hey, the Kardashian curse is real, son.
No doubt. As that curse is real. Everyone. Mar Odom fell apart, and Tristan Thompson hadn't been the same. And
Reggie Bush was never the same.
Yeah, and then Kanye just lost his mind. Kanye went off the deep end. He's legit crazy.
Yeah.
Made a good looking sneaker though. Really, Kanye.
He did.
The thing about Kanye that's overrated is the rapping ability itself. Like, Kanye is a great producer and not a bad designer, but as a rapper, very overrated. Like, he's okay, but like he's one of these dudes who gets open, right? And then allows the opportunity for a rhyme to actually influence what he's saying. He's not like, you know, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Eminem. They're guys who can make the words do exactly what they want them to do. Kanye's not one of those dudes.
All right. Hey, check it out. You know Duke isn't in the tournament this year. So Duke's 24-year streak of making a tourney was more impressive than the Spurs' 22-year streak of making the NBA playoff.
Nah, son. Nah. 22 years in a row from a market that's not a big glamorous market making the playoffs. And I know more than 50% of the teams make it. But, you know, the recruiting advantage you have as a powerhouse school is different than any advantage you can have in the NBA. And Duke has enjoyed that this entire time. They're one of the blue chips, so to speak, no pun intended, programs with maybe the best coach. And it's also an academic institution. I mean, in the South, it's number one. And even in terms of the entire country, it's top 20 undergrad, let's say. So it has enormous institutional advantages that the Spurs don't enjoy. Therefore, the streak not as impressive. And there you have it.
All right.
Yeah.
Last one, real quick. You expect to fully enjoy, despite all the bad reviews, Coming to America 2 after Brendan and I warned you it was going to be bad.
Nah, son. It's not just you and Brendan. I'm starting to see it everywhere. But I will reserve judgment. It's just, look, first of all, you don't expect a sequel made a billion years after the original to be as funny in the first place. And then secondly, you're hearing bad reviews everywhere. But I've heard bad reviews before and watched the movie and said, what the hell is everyone talking about? So everyone, have no fear. I will watch Coming to America 2, and I will tell you definitively, I will have the answer as to whether it is good or bad. It's a lot of responsibility. Love me some Eddie Murphy. Love me some Arsenio Hall. But I'm going to have to be honest about this. If it's good, I will let you know. And Eddie, Arsenio, don't worry. If it's good, I don't care what anyone else is saying. I'll let you know it's good. But if it's not good, I'm going to have to say that too, unfortunately. Your calls plus Who's Smarter Than Max? Coming up, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Time for Who's Smarter Than Max.
That's right, Max. Who's smarter than you? Well, so far, it's been Brendan just about every time, but that's okay. Hey, guys, you know the All-Star Game was last week, and at the halfway mark, you got me looking at popularity. Of course, that's how you get in the All-Star Game. So I looked at the top-selling jerseys in the NBA this season. Can you name me the top 10 selling individual jerseys in the NBA, Max? But just one at a time. Start by you. Who's in
LeBron
the top 10,
James.
Max? Numero uno. Number one bonus points for Max. Ding, ding, ding. All right, go ahead, Brendan.
Steph Curry.
Oh, that's a good choice. He's number four. Remember, he was number one for a little while. LeBron snatched that back. What you got, Max?
Zion Williamson.
He's been in the league. I would be coming on. This is second year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So usually second in the league. There are a lot of guys to choose from, like, you know, other people, anyone else, actually, that's been in the league more established. So, no, that is wrong. Jeez, Max.
Zion's not in the top 10?
No. Brendan, show him how it's done. Name me another person in the top 10.
James Harden.
Ding, ding, ding.
Damian Lillard.
Ding, ding, ding. Second is Luka. You know they love them some Luka, and I do too.
Luka was going to be my next guess. I figured Zion is, number one pick.
Why would you pick Zion over Luka? Giannis is going to get the two-time MVP. Maybe Durant. Maybe champion AD. You know, Tatum is doing things in Boston.
I got to tell you, I'm surprised Zion's not in the top 10. He's on he's on SportsCenter on the highlights. He's the number one pick. I'm surprised by that. I guess the Pelicans aren't doing well.
I'm not. Well, good job, Brendan. You continue to be smarter than Max.
Apparently. That's depressing. Yeah, we'll Brian in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, what's happening? Just to let you know, it snowed in Simi Valley, California yesterday, which is a first. Hey, listen, I got a question about my Steelers. I got actually two parts to it. There's rumor about Le'Veon Bell possibly coming back, which I think is a mistake. You would probably say the same thing.
Depends what you get him for. I mean, like, if you don't have to pay him any money, then sure, why not?
Let me ask you something. With Ben going 12-4, and he had led the league in drops, 32nd running game, and he won 12 games and lost four, do you really think he's done?
It's not that he's done. I think he's a competent quarterback. It's just I think that he you know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of Drew Brees in recent years, where as the season wore on, he wore down. And by the time the playoffs came, you thought, you need something better to win. That's who he had some. And by the way, he's almost 40 years old, and he's taken a beating in his career, and he's coming back off a catastrophic injury, and he had no offensive line. So the Steelers were wise to bring Ben back because they have no like viable option, really. What's the alternative? But do I think Ben Roethlisberger can win a Super Bowl right now? I do not. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? Good show. I think it's the Clippers' years. Clippers this coming year. I think Kawhi could be MVP. I think they
Mitch,
got
why
the
are
best
you thinking about
deepest
the Clippers?
Team.
Wait a minute, Mitch.
They should
again,
take a page out of Warriors.
You have a lot of non sequiturs, Mitch. Think about the topics that we discussed today. Just think about it for a second. We talked about the Knicks. We talked about Patrick Ewing, Tom Brady's new contract, Cam Newton's new contract. We talked about a lot of stuff. I mean, I know Brian just now in California brought up the Steelers, and Mitch, you may say, well, listen, someone else brought up something. That's true, but Mitch, you do it. You're a repeat offender. Every time it's something that we haven't been talking about. Let me ask you something. I want to know how your mind works, Mitch in New Jersey. Why are you thinking about the Clippers? What jogged that in your brain?
Well, I'm a Clippers fan. You know, everybody's always talking about the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I know we'll always be the second banana. Like, the Nets will always be the second banana to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And at least Patrick Ewing brought the Knicks to the playoffs a lot of times.
Well, Howard, did you wind up a Clippers? Like, I'm listening to your accent. You're not from California. You're from the East Coast, either New York or New Jersey. Where are you from?
Staten Island.
You're from Staten Island. Right. You sound like it. How did you wind up a Clippers fan? When they were in San... How old are... Mitch, first of all, how old are you?
59.
50, right, okay, we talked about this. So you remember the Clippers when they came into the league, when they were in San Diego, with Donald Sterling, the worst owner of all time, as the owner, and now when they're in L.A., like, when did you become a Clippers fan? I need to know how that happened. Like, how old were you? What happened that made you a Clippers fan?
Well, the Lakers and the Celtics always irked me to no end. And Bernard Benjamin, Charles Smith, I know Bernard Benjamin, he's a clown, but just some reason, boy, and I remember with Bob McAdoo, I remember they were playing in Buffalo.
Charles Smith and Bob McAdoo.
Towards the end of his career. I know Bob McAdoo finished with the Lakers too, I believe.
I mean, you really looked, you surveyed the landscape. You said, I can't do the Lakers and the Celtics. The Knicks weren't giving you anything to watch. And you decided, you know what? I like this Charles Smith fella. I'm going to become... Charles Smith was a nice player before the injury, especially. But you don't start... I've never heard of someone starting to root for a franchise, especially with an awful owner on the other side of the country because of a player like Charles Smith. Mitch, well, may be the most you might be the most interesting caller I've ever had. I need to figure out how your brain works. I can't... I'm fascinated by this. Why Charles Smith?
I'm starting to forget things, but Blake Griffin was great. DeAndre Jordan was a steal. Chris Paul.
You can't. You're 59. You didn't become a Clippers fan during Lob City. You just said it predates that. So why? So. Yeah, all right. Listen, Mitch. We don't have time to get into it, but I need to. Raj, we got to get Mitch out. I got to. You know. I want to bring a shrink on.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. He calls in every day, so you
don't
have to worry.
I want
to
bring a shrink on and you know. Have Mitch answer some questions.
Okay. Mitch is a good sport. I think he'll be up for it.
Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up. Of course, I will be back tomorrow, same time.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.